I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. 6 months ago this week, a Tunisian street peddler set himself aflame. It was a protest against the oppression so pervasive across the Arab world. His death ignited a wave of popular unrest across North Africa and the Middle East. Peaceful protests drove dictators from Tunisia, and then Egypt, from power, and have challenged other autocratic leaders in the region. Stephen Cook is Senior Fellow for Middle Eastern Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations in Washington. You know, if you look at some countries in the Mideast, there's a mixture of repression and concessions that seem to be allowing some regimes, to, especially monarchies, to cling on to power. And then you've got countries like Yemen and Syria, which seem to be on the brink of civil war. With all these different outcomes from the Arab Spring, where does it leave the kind of overall ideals of a freer, open, democratic society?
Well, not to be flip, it's a bit early to tell. People keep saying that Egypt is the bellwether. If Egypt were to emerge as a freer, more democratic society, that will have a profound impact on the rest of the region. But you're right in the sense that things are shaking themselves out very differently across the region. There are essentially three tiers of countries now in the Middle East. Right now, we have two countries, Egypt and Tunisia, that are struggling to realize their revolutionary promise. You have another set of countries, the Moroccos, the Jordans, some of the smaller Gulf states, even Algeria is in this category, that essentially have their heads down trying to prevent this upheaval from reaching into their countries in serious ways. All of these places have experienced demonstrations, and they've done this through a combination of political concessions, a certain amount of bribery, and of course the use of force. And then you have obviously the repressive states, Libya, Syria, Yemen. And at the center, you have Saudi Arabia, which regards change throughout the region as an overall negative effect on Saudi Arabian national interests and security.
Now, if we turn our attention to Yemen, Syria, and Libya, where the outcome of the protests has not been as clear as it was in Tunisia and Egypt, I mean, what does that mean? Does that imply those countries weren't really ready for this kind of Arab Spring? And if so, when will they be ready?
I don't think it's a question of whether these countries were ready or not. Revolutions are sudden and are unexpected, quite obviously. I think what Yemen and Syria and Libya represent are leaders of regimes trying to reinstill the fear factor among the population that has melted away, that has made these protests possible. And the use of military force against their own population is an effort to reestablish their control. So it is a moment in these three countries that could go either way. We've seen that in Libya, where the rebellion gets the upper hand and then suddenly Gaddafi and his forces are able to regain it. Yemen, the departure of Ali Abdullah Saleh was supposed to alter the political dynamics in Yemen, but his sons retain significant power and ability to use force against their opponents. The Assads have demonstrated that they are willing to use tremendous amount of force against their own population. Mm. The army remains by and large loyal, but you could foresee a possibility in which parts of the military become mutinous and it breaks into a broader kind of civil conflict.
Right. And how complex does the dynamic become in the Mideast as the U.S. tries to support democracy and democracy flourishing, as well as try and cut some slack for places like Yemen, where we do need to keep national security in mind?
Well, it is extraordinarily complex for the United States. American policymakers have never been able to answer the question, how do you protect your short-term security interests in that very unstable and uncertain process of a democratic transition? And they still haven't been able to answer that question. And as a result, the perception of the United States will continue to be a country that is pushing double standards. We'd like to see democracy flourish in one place, but we're okay with the continuation of authoritarian regimes in other places. Foreign policy is never going to be consistent, and there are trade-offs, but that does not change the perception that many people have of the United States in the region.
Stephen Cook with the Council on Foreign Relations speaking with us from Washington. Thank you.
My pleasure, Marco.